Good morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to those who know that all of the world's political, religious, military, economic, and media institutions are corrupt, counterproductive, and unfixable. Our phone number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion during the first hour where we consider all things newsworthy, is toll-free 877-300-7645. The dollar hit its lowest mark in more than a year, while gold prices jumped. This occurred on Wednesday because weaker than expected U.S. retail sales destroyed the confidence in the Federal Reserve's program. Currently, interest rates are very close to zero. And they are not for only one reason, and that is the Fed is no longer selling treasuries, any substantial amount of treasuries on the open market. What the Fed is doing instead of actually seeking to sell treasuries to see if there is actually a buyer for U.S. treasuries debt at low interest rates, they instead are creating the illusion of buying them by creating the illusion of money, devaluing the existing monetary supply, destroying the value of everyone's savings and the value of their work, because they know they can't sell them. Because America's future is way too bleak for anyone to invest in it without a gargantuan guaranteed return. So as retail sales fall and there's this feeling that the Fed's program is not working, the dollar lost value. The dollar has to lose value. The dollar has to lose value because we've increased the amount of dollars without any justification. You know, if you had in your economy $1,000 and everything in your economy was valued at dollars based on 1,000 of them, and next week the ruler of your community decided to increase the number of dollars by tenfold, what's going to happen to the value of the dollars that you hold?
They become useless. It sounds a lot like the old economics, supply and demand. If you have so much supply and the demand isn't there, and if you keep adding more and more, which is what they're doing.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah.
Every time the Fed creates the illusion of money to buy treasuries, they are destroying the value of your savings by that amount. It's the most sinister of all confiscation and taxation schemes. Most people don't even know it's occurring.
Well, are diamonds rare? Are diamonds a rare thing? Not really. They have a ton of diamonds, but De Beers did a really good job of...
They're creating a limited supply to keep up the cost. If De Beers released all of the diamonds that they could produce all at one time, the value of diamonds would plummet.
And that's basically what they do with the dollar. They just release a ton of it, and then all of a sudden...
Yeah, except the diamond is a real thing. Dollars are not.
Fair enough.
Diamond still has value. There's things that you can do with a diamond. You know, a diamond is an extraordinarily effective cutting device. It's used in industry all the time. Diamonds have actual value. It's a real thing. Your dollars don't. It's all a myth. It's economy by belief system. You know, it's the U.S. economy is really akin to a Pauline religion. All you got to do is believe. But if you start like a Pauline religion, actually considering the evidence, you start being reasonable and logical, you'll lose your faith. So what does the Pauline economy do? It creates all manner of propaganda, all manner of deceptions and illusions, politicians who lie, all to keep you believing. And so long as the majority believe in the lie, well, the economy continues to putter along, every day robbing you of your savings. I don't think many people recognize that fiat currency and a Federal Reserve system creates an economy that is akin to a religion. It falls apart if questioned. It only works if everyone believes. Scott, I know that you had a story that you shared with me at the very end of our program yesterday. It's about my least favorite institution in the world. And I've got a lot of least favorites. But my least of the least favorites is not the Islamic State. It's not Islam at large. It's not the U.S. Federal Reserve. It's not U.S. governance. It's not even the U.S. military. It's not even the U.S. Justice Department. It's not even the NSA or the CIA. There's a more sinister organization, and they did exactly what you would have expected them to do, which is to be reprehensible.
I came across it was right at the end of the show yesterday, and they just did it right as the show was ending. Yesterday, I came across an article in the New York Times, and it's the Vatican to recognize the Palestinian state in new treaty.
Has the Vatican ever recognized Israel for the Promised Land?
I don't believe so. Have they?
I don't know. Has the Vatican ever designated Israel as the home of Israelites, of the home of the Jews?
No, I'm not sure.
Has the Vatican ever come out and said, you know, God, whom we claim to have be representing, designated this land, gave it to the Jews, and therefore, because we represent this God, it would be absolute hypocrisy for us to say that this land belongs to anyone else but the Jews?
Well, that one I do know the answer to. That's definitely no.
Why? Well, are they just lying? Are they really into that kind of deception? I mean, is the religion nothing but a fraud?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Welcome to the world of Roman Catholicism. So if you were God and you chose the descendants of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Jacob to be your witnesses to humankind, and you formed a covenant family relationship with them, and you called them your children, and you refer to them as your people, you chose them, you gave them in a solemn oath the land that is Israel, all of it, including the West Bank. You gave it all to them. And now you have a group of revolting religious actors dressed up in their regalia with a political entity, nonetheless, an outgrowth of the most vicious empire in human history, Rome. And they declare that, no, your vow, it doesn't, it's meaningless to them. Israel belongs to a mythical people known as the Palestinians, not to the Jews. So if you're God, what would you think about such people?
Not very highly. I mean, I wouldn't think very highly of them at all.
Well, very highly sounds like you might think somewhat highly of them.
Oh, yeah. No.
look at them as if they were worse than death?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, when people claim to speak for you who negate your promises, who negate your testimony while claiming to speak for you and lead others astray, causing them to believe that you're speaking for God, I don't think there's anything that you can do that upsets God more. I don't even think a pedophile bothers God as much as someone who deceives in this way, negating his testimony when claiming to speak for him.
I agree. So the Vatican announced Wednesday that it would soon sign a treaty that includes recognition of the state of Palestine, lending significant symbolic weight to an intensifying Palestinian push for international support for sovereignty that bypasses the paralyzed negotiations with Israel. Palestinian leaders celebrated the Holy See's endorsement as particularly important given the international stature of Pope Francis. For Israelis, it was an emotional blow, since Francis has deep relationships with Jews dating back decades, and Christians are critical backers of their enterprise. The Vatican
right.
is not...
Just before we go on here, those Muslims... When Muslims have the opportunity in a Muslim majority environment to burn Christians alive and Catholics alive in their homes, do they?
Yeah.
When there were almost 2 million Christians in Iraq before the U.S. invasion, and empowering Muslims. As a result of the U.S. invasion, weren't the Christians annihilated? Aren't there less than 100,000 of them today?
I'm not 100% sure on the answer on that.
The number's about 100,000, a little less. A little less than 2 million before the U.S. invasion. The Muslims, when empowered, not only assassinated them, not only robbed them of their homes, robbed them of their possessions, what did they do to the little Christian girls?
Probably the same thing they do to all of them. They probably raped them and killed them.
They sold them into sexual slavery. They only killed them if they fought back. Same thing that Boko Haram does down in Nigeria. So, is the Pope ignorant of the fact that most Christians in Syria were Catholics? Is he ignorant of the fact that the Islamic State has tortured them? Is he unaware that the mythical people known as Palestinians are resolutely Muslims? That if he were to be unprotected in their midst, they'd kill him. Returning now to the story on the decline of the dollar. The reality is that the first quarter, which was promoted as it always is by the Obamanation administration as robust, was actually pathetic. Growth rates were non-existent. The economy has slowed to a crawl. But there was a bright spot in it all. You see, the French, the Italians, and the Germans were able to float debt. Each of those countries, because they don't have reserve currency status, can't play the game of illusions that America is playing with quantitative easing. They actually have to sell debt, and even in the midst of the Greek financial meltdown, Germany and Italy both successfully sold government debt. And yields on secondary market to debt fell, even though traders were skeptical whether this meant that there would be growing turmoil in the bond market. U.S. Treasury yields ended higher because interest rates have to go up in choppy trading after the Treasury saw strong demand for a new $24 billion sales of 10-year notes, a sign that higher yields are drawing some buyers back to the market, a market that hasn't existed for years, which is the entire purpose of quantitative easing. We spoke yesterday about the Islamic State and their claiming that they were behind the attempted slaughter of innocent civilians in Texas. The fact is, they killed no one, but got killed in the process. But America, yes, America did some killing in the intervening period. America bombed a mosque. Oh, you know, America said, oh, we'll never bomb a mosque. We're not at war with Islam. We'll never be. The abominator says, lied and said, America has never been at war with Islam. That's not true. America's first war as a nation was fought against Islam. And he went on to say, America will never be at war with Islam. Then why did America bomb a mosque? We did. We bombed a mosque in Syria. And unlike the Muslims who strapped AK-47s to their shoulders and fired indiscriminately at innocent civilians in Texas, we dropped bombs on that mosque, and we did some serious killing. One of the people we killed in that mosque was the second highest ranking advisor, Politico, in the Islamic State. Killed him. And so the various governments are all acknowledging that we killed the second highest ranking Muslim in the Islamic State. America is not confirming this. Why? Because we bombed a mosque to do it. He was in a mosque. How are you going to say, as the abominator does, that the Islamic State's not Islamic? And how are you going to say that America is not at war with Islam when we killed the second highest ranking member of the Islamic State by bombing an Islamic mosque? Scott, this is indeed troubling, isn't it? It makes the Obama administration look like just a pack of ignorant liars.
Did you need this article to do that? Or?
No, I didn't. I was just hoping maybe a few other people would recognize the same thing. Yeah. I've got another question. I've got a question that just comes out of all this. Okay, so Obama made himself look like a complete nincompoop and liar, a complete fraud, when he said we're not at war with Islam and he bombs a mosque. And then when he said that the Islamic State's not Islamic and yet we killed the second highest leader in the Islamic State in a Islamic mosque. I have this question for you, because that's all pretty certain that the abominator is engaged in willful deception. And he's doing the opposite of what he says.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think that the odds are that by killing the second highest ranking leader of the Islamic State, that we have degraded the capability of the Islamic State, that the Islamic State will be less ruthless, that they will be less aggressive, that they will be diminished in their capability going forward? Think that's going to happen?
Your answer is 0% chance. There's a 0% chance that they're less.
Think they'll be more enraged?
Yes.
Since the likelihood of America thwarting the effectiveness of the Islamic State by killing its second in command is zero, and since the likelihood of the United States enraging Muslims who are part of the Islamic State to be more destructive, to be more deadly, to be more deceitful, to be more inhumane, is 100% as a result of killing a Muslim by bombing a mosque, why did we do it? When you deploy very expensive weapons at great expense to destroy and to kill, and when the result is counterproductive, when you simply enrage your enemy, why would you do it? Really? Why would you do it? Haven't we learned over the last 20 years that fighting wars against Muslim always leads to a worse condition? Did we make Afghanistan better or worse?
Worse.
Oh, here's a really tough one.
It's a...
By invading Iraq, did we make it better or worse?
Way worse.
By invading Iraq, what did we do to Syria?
Well, made that worse, too.
By bombing Yemen, how did that work out?
You made it worse. But it's like a hornet's nest. If you see a hornet's nest, do you go up and hit it with a rake? Or do you figure something
out? If you're America, evidently.
Evidently, yeah. But, I mean, what's the smart thing to do?
Leave it alone? Walk away from it? Don't antagonize the hornets? Oh, but you say, but those hornets, you know, they might sting innocent people. Yes, they will. They're hornets. That's what they do.
Only the hornets that are extremists do that. All right.
No, that's just what a hornet does. No. Just like Muslims, that's what a Muslim does. That's what a hornet does. Oh, goodness gracious, folks. You know, when you, as an American, vote for politicians who consistently squander your credibility, mock your morality by deploying weapon systems to make bad systems situations worse, who's ultimately to blame? The politicians who do this? Or those that elect them? Who is really to blame? The military that executes such stupidity? Or the politicians that direct them? Well, so yesterday we killed the second in charge of the Islamic State. Today, the Islamic State advanced on Palmyra. Now, for those of you who have been, who listen to both programs, this program and to our Friday evening Shabbat program on the Torah, you know that Palmyra is a rather important place, not for good, but for evil. Palmyra was the head of the center of occult worship. Sin was the name of the moon god worshipped there. And ultimately, as the Romans and the Persians mixed around this border region in Syria that was kind of the edge of the Western Roman Empire, which became the Byzantine Empire after the fall of Rome in the West, that would be the Eastern Roman Empire, that after the fall of Rome and the rise of Byzantinia, then this area of in Syria called Palmyra, which was a religious center, was kind of the crossroads between the Persians and the Romans. And so the Romans, who were always willing to incorporate pagan religious systems, just like the Roman Catholic Church after Rome, always willing to incorporate pagan religious systems to assimilate people and control them. Palmyra ultimately became the world's capital for the worship of a false god known as the Lord. It was the home of Baal. In fact, this article on why it is so important to save this world-renowned archaeological site wasn't built by Muslims. It was built by the Romans. And the Romans built on top of what the Persians and the Babylonians and the Assyrians had built previously. It is a temple complex to the Lord. And the Lord's name, the Lord's title, is Baal. Baal is the Baal, would be the proper Hebrew pronunciation. Baal is the term, the name, the title that Yahweh consistently affords Satan, the adversary. That's what's in Palmyra. And the world, the United Nations, is up in arms that the Islamic State is threatening this great archaeological treasure. One of the great treasures of the world is this temple structure to the Lord, to Baal, to the very individual. Yeah, well, throughout his Torah, prophets, and Psalms, says to Satan, Baal. Now, you might wonder, why would God use the name and title Lord to describe the adversary? Because religious people, like Catholics, like Christians, even like Muslims, have been hoodwinked by their religious leaders into believing that the Lord is God. But the real God, Yahweh, says no. The Lord is Satan. Now, Scott, why do you think God never refers to himself as Lord? Why does he say those calling me Lord, Lord, will never enter heaven? Why does he disassociate himself from the title Lord? And why do you suspect that he associates Satan, the adversary, with this title?
Because it's opposite to his nature. He doesn't want to lord over anybody. He doesn't want to control anybody. It's why he made Adam.
Right. It's the opposite of his nature. When you refer to God as Lord, you are referring to Satan. It is Satan's nature to want to control, to want to possess, to own. Yahweh wants none of those things. In fact, as Scott said, that's the exact opposite of his nature. Fathers are never lords. Ever. Yahweh is the father of the covenant. And as the father of the covenant, he wants us to choose to love him. And as the father of the covenant, like all loving fathers, he's about the business of lifting his children up, not having them bow down in submission to him. His whole mentality, his whole approach, his whole attitude towards us is to get down on his knees to lift us up. And lords would have it the opposite way, for us to get down on our knees to praise them. When you go to a religious praise service, you are paying homage to the Lord. And your Lord, your God, is Satan. This temple construct in Syria is a temple built by the very genesis of the Roman Catholic Church, the Roman Empire. It dates to the 1st and 2nd centuries CE, as the Roman Empire and Christianity were in the process of melding into one. It was at its heyday. It was at its highest status during the 3rd and 4th century, as Christianity became the only legal and accepted religion in Rome, as the Roman Catholic Church was being born under Constantine and Theodosius. The Lord, and a temple to him. The same Lord that was incorporated into Roman Catholicism. The reason that Roman Catholics will refer to their God as the Lord and never as Yahweh is on display. And the last thing the Roman Catholic Church and the United Nations want done is to have a shrine to their Lord, to Satan, destroyed, calling it a great treasure. The Islamic State advance, it says, threatens Palmyra, one of the greatest archaeological sites in the world. The Islamic State advance has raised fears as to what might happen to the temples in the ancient city if the jihadists take control of it. They ransacked and destroyed several other ancient religious sites in Iraq. Palmyra already suffered damage during the 4-year civil war. The government-controlled area is close to gas fields and lies on the road between the capital, Damascus, and the contested eastern city of Al-Zur. On Thursday, the Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, a UK-based activist group, said that the Islamic State militants were within 1 mile of the ruins of the Palmyra temples, a UNESCO, United Nations, World Heritage Site. Boy, you know what side they're on, don't you? It then says, the Islamic State itself claimed on Twitter that it had already taken control of the northern and eastern parts of the city. On Wednesday, a Homs-based activist told the Associated Press that the Islamic State had seized ammunition in a depot and had bombed the local airport. Homs, the provincial governor, confirmed that the town had fallen, and he said that 1,800 families were sheltering nearby. The Syrian Observatory said more than 70 soldiers and 40 militants had been killed in the battle, a place that last month showed the beheading of Ethiopian Christians. Isn't it terrible? This article says that rising out of the desert and flanked by an oasis, Palmyra contains the monumental ruins of a great city that was once the most important cultural city of the ancient world, according to the United Nations. The site, which dates back to the 1st and 2nd centuries CE of the Common Era, when the region was under Roman rule, is dominated by a grand colonnaded street. At the southern end of the mile-long street is the great temple of Baal, considered one of the most important religious buildings of the first century. Wow. So, we will risk lives. We will squander coin. We will spill blood to protect a temple to Satan, to the Lord, to Baal. What more do you need to know about the allegiance of the United Nations, of the purpose of the United States, of the God that is worshipped in Christianity and in Islam? You see, Yahweh chose the name and title Baal, meaning the Lord, to describe the adversary. When he told us that the adversary was a fallen Moloch, a spiritual entity, he told us what this Moloch, which he called the adversary, Hasatan, wanted to achieve. He wanted to be worshipped above the Most High. He wanted to be considered more important than God. So I ask you, in Christianity, what name is more important? Yahweh or Lord?
Lord by far.
He achieved exactly what he wanted. Satan has put himself above God. You talk about the Roman Catholic Church. You know, in the Roman Catholic Church, it is considered a crime. It is a mandate by the Pope never to speak Yahweh's name in any of their churches. Ever. But guess what name they can use consistently and do? The Lord. Lord. Satan. Yahweh ascribed that name to him, Lord, because that's his desire. He wants to be the Lord. He wants people to bow down to him. He wants people to show him veneration. He wants people to praise him. He wants to control, to possess, to own, to subjugate. That's what he wants. And he's achieved it. Understanding why Yahweh despises the term Lord. As a matter of fact, in Hosea, when Yahweh talks about his return, he says that the thing that he will be happiest about upon his return is never hearing the name Baal, Lord, said ever again. That's what he's looking forward to. He is so sick and tired of religious buffoons speaking of the Lord as if the Lord were God, when in fact he was extraordinarily clear, and the Romans certainly proved it, and the United Nations and America are underscoring it. Baal, Lord, is the adversary. This is one of the things that, as you closely examine and carefully consider Yahweh's testimony, the thing that strikes an individual right off the bat and is underscored over and over and over again is that Yahweh is our Ab, our Father. He is the head of the household. And as a father, he wants to bless his children. He wants to get down on his knees to lift his children up so we can be like him, so that we can grow, so that we can do things together as family. What he wants is the opposite of a Lord who suppresses, who keeps people down, who makes certain that they are bowing before him, groveling before him, making certain that he owns them. The antithesis of family and a father. We'll be back after the news.